All right. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Hope everybody's doing well this morning. Good to be in the Lord's house. Starting off a new year. It's hard to believe. Before we know it, we'll say it again. Blink of an eye. If the Lord don't come back, it'll be a new year before we know it again. But it's good to see you. I know we're a little low in number, but we got a lot of folks sick. A lot of folks sick right now. That's one of the reasons we did not have Sunday school this morning. A lot of COVID, a lot of flu, just a lot of sickness. And I knew after the holidays that there would be a great rise in that. It's not something that surprises me by no means, but we do need to be much in prayer for our church and our church family, of course. And it is good to see some that have been sick back with us. We appreciate the Lord taking care of them. And just a lot of things. Again, I was telling, I think Brother George or somebody was standing back there. I was thinking yesterday. I said, you know, we've always, you know, had problems in our, since the Lord started this thing, there's been problems. But I was thinking, you know, it seems like it's just in my lifetime, sickness, weird weather, wars, different crazy stuff. And I said, you know, either the Lord is going to try to wake us up or the Lord's getting things set to come back. So it's one of the two, or it could be both. So, but I do know he's coming. Somebody texted me, Happy New Year. Might be Brother Jimmy, I think. I said, just think, this could be the year that the Lord comes. And I'm looking, I'm anticipating. But if he don't come today, I'm going to keep pressing on, doing my best, serve the Lord the best that we know how. And don't want anything outside of this world to affect the way I serve the Lord. And I hope and encourage you to do the same this morning. But appreciate you being here. Do get a bulletin. First of all, services. We are not going to be having service tonight, and this is the reason. I've talked to a few people and we've talked over it with other people. But one of the things is if there is a virus here this morning, and you don't know, you never know. That'll give it time to be gone by the night, you know, by Wednesday. It gives that time for that germ to die, in between service because, you know, people are touching things, door handles, all that stuff. And I don't want to get you scared. There's no reason to be. God did not give me a spirit of fear. But we do want to be wise the best we know how. So there'll be no service tonight. We will have Wednesday night service, Lord willing. And then next Sunday, we'll just see how this week goes, see how things pan out with our folks, see how people are doing. So just take care of yourself. Don't sit at a house and the sky is falling. The Lord, He's good all the time. He ain't changed a bit, nor will He change. That's our services, so do remember that. We lost a missionary about 2 weeks ago now. We didn't know about it till this week. Brother Bob Doom up in Asheville. He's been here a few times. He's wrote a bunch of books in his life. I always picked on him. I'm sure I wasn't the only one. He has his doctorate degree. And I said, man, what a name. Dr. Doom. Man, who are you? I'm Dr. Doom. But no, Brother Doom was a great man of God. He and just a few other folks. He lived in a very wicked place. Asheville is probably one of the most wicked places on the East Coast. It's the San Francisco of the East is what they call it. Sodomy everywhere up in that neck of the woods. Everywhere. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law, my wife's sister, they just moved out of Hendersonville, and that's one of the reasons they moved, because it just got so wicked up there. But Brother Bob Doom would get out there in Asheville when they was having all their things that they do, and he would stand out there in the middle of Asheville and preach the gospel and stand on truth and hand out gospel tracts and had a great, great work. And so that's some shoes that's going to need to be filled. So I just pray the Lord would continue to send men and women out into the labor of the field. And so just pray for that family. His wife's been dead for a few years now, so I don't know. I don't remember how many children he has, but just pray for that family, of course, and do pray for our missionaries, of course. Miss Dawn did have her knee replaced Thursday, and she's already back home. So we praise the Lord for that. Everything went well. But if you could help, if you'd like to help with some food, My wife's not in here. See my wife or Miss Aretha. She don't need, you know, a buffet by no means, but if you could help with some food, that would be wonderful. So it would be a great blessing there. So just pray for Miss Dawn. She's recovering there. So, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to sing a few songs, and then we'll get into the service. Father, we sure are thankful, God, that we have the opportunity just to even come to this place this morning. I thank you for the help, the strength, God, to even be able to get out of the bed and come. Lord, I know there's others this morning that would love to be here. Lord, I know, as we've already mentioned, God, the sickness and things, several of our folks that I've talked to the last few days and heard from, God, just so sick. Lord, I just pray that you touch their bodies, heal them. God, help them to get through this thing, Lord. And God, we just pray, God, Lord, you comfort there. And Lord, we do pray, dear God, Lord, for the lost, God, as this thing is wrapping up, God, as we sit back and just sort of take a visual of what this world looks like, God, in our eyes, Lord. I can't imagine what you see, Lord, but God, I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be busy. Lord, I know time is short. I know, God, that Lord, our days are getting fewer. And God, I just pray that you'd help us to be, God, just firm on this foundation, Lord, today. And God, just stand upon truth. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to even read the Word of God. And Lord, I pray, God, that you just encourage your children these days, Lord. And God, help us to fight a good fight. Help us to stand in these days, Lord. And God, I pray for our country this morning. God, so many things around about us, Lord. I pray, God, that you just help us, Lord, to rise above. God, help us to be that light. Help us not to be ashamed of that light. God, help us to shine in these days. And God, I just pray that you'd help us to reach out to the lost. God, help us to pray for the lost. God, help us to give those tracts out, be a witness. And Lord, we just ask you to bless this time together this morning, God. And we'll thank you. We'll praise you. More, Lord, we sure want to glorify you in everything that you do. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's grab a hymnal this morning.
All right, let's all stand up. Turn to number 204. It's kind of funny. The few times that Brother Doom was here, it is a good name, Dr. Doom, because it's actually a villain in a comic book. So I kind of like joked with him because I said, "Who knew Dr. Doom's first name was Bob?" So anyway, here we go. We're going to sing all three verses. Number 204. Did I say that? 204? Yeah, okay. So let's sing all three verses. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. On the last verse, great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. All right, before you sit down, flip over to number 10, your hymnal number 10. And we'll just sing the first and the last verse. So we'll just do verse 1 and verse 4, all right? So here we go. Let's sing it out. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Amen. All right, you can be seated. You can be seated.
Yes, sir. Sure. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Wind out of yourself. Amen. Amen. So I tell people I ain't much, but God's just good, amen. He is faithful. I want to be faithful, but He is faithful. So we sure praise His name. Amen. I appreciate that. He is all the time. Amen. He never fails, does He? His mercies, His grace, His love. Aren't you glad it ain't dependent on you? I was telling somebody I didn't have a good day yesterday, and wasn't feeling too great, couldn't breathe. I ain't breathing too good this morning, but I was telling the Lord, I'm useless. He reminded me that He was good. He had us here for a purpose. So we it's easy to get wrapped up in the doom and the gloom, but just remember, God's still on the throne. Amen. Amen. So thank you. Y'all. Okay, Brother Russell. I done forgot. Brother Russell and Miss Wendy's going to sing. So, is there coming again? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. Yeah, remember that family? Yep. Amen. Oh, Uncle Shorty, that's one I didn't have. Teresa's uncle, I'm back in the hospital, so do actually pray for him again. Remember Miss Dome, remember Brother Hunting, remember our sick all around about us again as we pray. But do get a bulletin, prayer list is in there, of course. God's so good. Aren't you glad you could pray? You know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. We like to pray when we have a problem, but I like to pray just to be praying, amen? I don't have to get on my knees. I have those places that I like to just get along with the Lord. But I just like talking to Him throughout the day. in my own self, you know, I just go through the day talking with the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'd rather talk to the Lord any day than some people. Amen. Amen. All right.
Why did he go to Calvary? Why was his life's blood shed for me? Why did he suffer as no man has ever done? There's just one reason. I am the one. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Loves me. When I'm sad, he loves me. Even when I'm bad, he loves me. When it seems no one cares for me, I talk to Jesus. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me.
Amen. 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 Enough said, amen. He loves me. Don't ever forget that. Listen, you don't know what you're going to face. You don't know what's coming around the next corner. You don't know what a day holds. But no matter what, if I'm up, if I'm down, if I'm in or I'm out, God still loves me the same. Think back to when you were lost. If you're here this morning, you are lost. God loves you. Even as you are, God loves you. He died for you. But for us that are saved, think back just a little bit of time there. Remember when you were lost? God showed you how dirty you were, what a sinner you were. And even in that, He loved you enough to come to where you were and to save you. Washed you and cleansed you. Set your feet upon a rock and established a going for you. And never will He leave you. Never will He forsake you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What a God we serve this morning. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. I know that the calendar has just changed and we're celebrating a brand new year. And I know I don't do it anymore. I don't do the New Year's resolutions and all that stuff. It's, you know, God don't like a liar. So I don't want to lie. So I don't even lie to myself, you know. But I do believe in setting goals in front of ourselves. One of the goals that I want to encourage you, I don't encourage this enough, but there's no better time. Let me back up. How many like me? Let's just do a little self-examination this morning. Not everybody might be built like this, but I am. If I want to do something, and we'll use maybe exercise, since that's what everybody's mind is, or a diet or everything like that. Maybe that's on somebody's mind this morning. I'm a Monday guy. I'll start Monday. Anybody else like that? I mean, maybe I'm just crazy. I don't know. And then the rest of y'all are crazy too then. I'm a Monday guy. But you know, it seems like January with the flipping, it's just another day. You know, when the clock ticked to midnight and the calendar turned, nothing really changed as far as the world did it. There was no big moving of the sky or anything, you know. But a lot of people use that again as just a Monday. It's a time to say, you know, I'm going to start something different. I'm going to change something in my life. And I don't see nothing wrong with that. I believe in setting goals in front of you. You ought to have something to work for. You ought to have something in front of you to try to achieve. If you don't have that, you're going to be really depressed. You're not going to have anything to live for, really. You're just going to sit down and quit. So you need, every one of us need to put some things in front of us that, you know, I want to achieve this. And you don't have to wait till Monday. You don't have to wait till another new year. But every one of us ought to put some things in our lives. And one of the things, again, it always comes around, you know, for us people of God's children, I'm going to read my Bible through this year. I think that's a great goal to put in front of you. But maybe that's a goal you can't achieve. But you can at least try. You know, we've got... The scripture reading things that you can check off. Those are wonderful. But some people don't read as good as others. And I be honest, I don't read as good as some people. I have a hard time. But you know what I began doing? I listen as I read. Scorby's probably one of the best ones that I know of to listen. And I'll let him do the reading and I just follow along. I don't want to just hear him. I want to follow along because it helps my reading skills. But it keeps you on track. It keeps you on a pace. But you know, everybody could read one chapter a day, I bet. Maybe not Psalm 119. That's a, not be a stretch for some of us, but that is a little bit of a long one. How many could read one verse? Come on. Everybody can read one verse. We have those, what are them things called? Little books. Call to Glory. Call to Glory. You'll read at least one verse if you read that every day. Well, preacher, what's one verse? It's better than no verses. And I'll be honest with you. There's times in my reading where I go to one verse and that's as far as I go because God feeds me so much off what I just read in that one verse. So I want to encourage us to put some things in front of us. I know what happens because it happens to me. You'll set out to read your Bible through. Every morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to read five chapters. Well, one day comes up and you get out of bed late and you're running behind and before you know it, the day's gone and you didn't read. You didn't read your Bible. You didn't read yours either. So don't sit there and be, you know, all spiritual on us. We're human. What day was that? That Shorty went third Friday? Friday. Our Friday didn't go the way we thought because Uncle Shorty called and was on the way to the hospital. So things happen. So do you just quit when those days happen? What do you do? Well, I'll read 10 chapters. Probably not. But you can read one. So I want to encourage you as we set some things in front of us. Make Bible reading a very important place. Another place is prayer. I mentioned prayer a minute ago. I believe we all should have that private time with the Lord of prayer. But you ought to have some time in your day that you do have conversations with the Lord. If you're not, you're missing something. So I want to encourage us to read, to pray. I want to encourage you to get some tracts. Preacher, I can't do that. Why? I don't know what to say. Don't say nothing. Just stand there with a dumb look on your face. They'll feel sorry for you and take it. It's not that hard. Well, preacher, what if they say something? Act dumb. Why is that important? There's a lot of people. Maybe you're here this morning and I'm going to exercise more this year. I hope you do. But what about exercising your faith? If you don't tell people, if you don't exercise your faith, you're going to get fat and be a slug. You're not going to do anything for God. So handing out that track is just some good exercise. It builds up your boldness. You know what else builds up your boldness? Reading this book. Praying. Handing out that track will be so much easier when you know. I have had such a joy. It's nothing. I've said it a little bit ago when I've been going to the doctor a lot here lately. But I enjoy it. I just don't use it at the doctor. But it's been amazing to me, the people that when people shake my hand and say, hey, how you doing? And I just look at them with a smile and say, I'm blessed. Amen. That's so easy. But you can be amazed how it makes that person think. So I want to put those things in front of them. I want you to put those things in front of you to encourage one another. I thought that's where the Lord was going to let us go this morning, over to the book of the Hebrews. Brother Rick was all over it the other day when he preached for me. But it talks about, you know, how we need to encourage one another. You know, a lot of times we discourage things. We're always mealy-mouthing the bad things of life. We're always heading on that. You know, we ought to encourage one another to serve God. We ought to encourage one another. Hey, what'd you read? One of the big things with weight loss, with any type of addiction type thing, is having somebody that you're accountable to. It keeps you motivated. It keeps you in line. I don't think there's anything wrong for maybe a spouse or maybe a friend to help you be accountable in your Bible reading, to help you be accountable in your prayer life, to help us be accountable in our service unto God. You know, the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. Instead of talking about, I love deer hunting, I love sports, there's a lot of things we could talk about. But you know, how much better would it be if you and I would say, hey, I read something this week. Have you ever seen that? And maybe they can tell you where they were reading. It sharpens us. It helps us to get stronger and to grow us. So I want to encourage you to put those things in front of you. But this morning I want to look at this thought. And I did look it up and I don't remember all the numbers. But we live in such an age of books and different things. People don't read books much anymore. Some do. But a lot of people do the Audible type things. That it's fine too. I got some books that I listen to Audible as well. Because you know, if you're driving down the road, it's a good time to, you know, either pray or listen to something. It's worth listening to. If I can find preaching, I'll do that. But there is so much money spent around the end of December, not just for Christmas, of course, but into January, on self-help type books, motivational type books. Things that people are saying, you know, I want to be better. I want to do this. And they'll start into trying to make a change in their lives. Well, this morning, you're holding the best self-help book that's ever been written. If you want to change your life, if you want to get motivated for another day, it's all in your hands if you're holding a Bible this morning. And I got two things I want to show you this morning. It's going to be very quick. But I believe that God gave us something in Philippians here that if we'll do these two things, you'll be amazed how your life will change. So let's stand together this morning. Philippians chapter 3. Let's look at verse number 12 this morning. Paul writing here, through the inspiration of God. Look at verse number 12, chapter 3 of Philippians. Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Now, that's a good place to start. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been reading your Bible. I don't care how much you pray. Nobody from the pulpit out to the back pew here this morning, you've not arrived. There's room for improvement. Well, preacher, I do read my Bible every day. Wonderful. Preacher, I do pray every day. Praise the Lord. Preacher, I hand out tracts everywhere I go. That's wonderful. But you still ain't perfect. There's always some room for some improvement. And Paul says here, not as though I had already attained, either were I already perfect, but I follow after. See, that's that setting of ourselves in line. Realizing that I'm not perfect, but you know there is somebody that is. You know, today people follow so many things. I know people that follow preachers. That's a terrible thing to do. Because when that preacher messes up or that preacher does something dumb or quits or whatever, what are you going to do? I can't count the preachers that I know that have fallen since I've been in the ministry. Every year there's preachers that fall. Preachers aren't nothing but man. But there is one that I can follow in after. I can set my eyes on Him and want to be what He is. And praise the Lord, one day I'm going to be. Not as though I had already attained, either were I already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad this morning? You know, there's things out there that people are following after that are not obtainable. There's people today that says, I want $1 million. And there's people make millions of dollars. But there's some people, you're just never going to attain that. But can I say this morning, if you'll follow after Christ, as great as Christ is, as wonderful as Christ is, He is attainable. That's not something that's out of reach. That's not something that is so out of this world that you can't have it. He's right there to be had. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for Your Spirit. We thank You, God, for that comforting and that guide. Lord, I pray for just the next little bit, God, would You please help us, God, to get beside of ourselves, God, and not look through the eyes of men. But God, help us this morning to look through the eyes of the Spirit this morning, God, and see what does lie ahead. God, help us this morning to want to be better. God, to have a desire to be better. And Lord, we'll thank You. We're going to praise You the best we know how this morning. And God, we give You all the glory. For it's in Your precious name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. And again, these are very familiar scriptures. This isn't probably something you've never heard before. But again, it's very easy to forget simple things. I remember back into my younger days in elementary school and stuff, you know, we played sports. Daddy kept us in football or baseball or basketball. And sometimes our coach would say, enough. We're going back to the basics. The fundamentals of whatever we're supposed to be doing, if it's dribbling a ball or throwing a ball or catching a ball, sometimes you've got to go back, because if you don't have those basics, anything else isn't going to matter. And sometimes in the spiritual life, we need to get back to the basics. We get lost sometimes in all the things going around about us. We get lost sometimes in just the things of our life. And sometimes God just wants you to back up a minute, as Paul is here, and says, look, I need to go back to the fundamentals. I need to get back to the basics of what Christianity is really about. And he gives us two simple things this morning that I believe ought to stay in the forefront of our minds. There's something in my heart that I have really been praying over the last several days and almost weeks now. And I've been asking God to do something. Preacher, what is it? Why do you care? I'm asking God. You just pray, hey, whatever the preacher's praying about, would you help him? That'd be good. But you know, I've been trying to keep myself because I'm just like most people. We'll pray about something really, really hard for a while. It'll be in the forefront of our minds. It'll be on our hearts constantly. But days will start going and weeks will start going and months will start going. And before you know it, that's not as important as it was. Why? It was important to start with it. Why do I let things come into my life that pull me away? This isn't just like, Lord, my toe hurts. This is something so much bigger than that. And it's something I should have already been really begging God for and pleading with God about. But I've lost sight of it. So I've tried to determine, and that's what it takes. You're never going to accomplish anything without some determination. It's not just going to happen. Whatever sin that you might be dealing with, and don't sit here and say you don't have one. Because the Bible says we have these sins that so easily beset us. Whatever that sin is, and I know we like to go to the big ones. Smoking, drinking, drugs, pornography, whatever, you know. Preacher, you believe that's... Yeah, I do. I don't know. I don't follow you. I just know what people are made out of. Why do we think that we can ask God to, God, please take away whatever that is? Thinking God's just going to snap his finger and say, okay, it's gone. Now, sometimes he does that. But most of the time, you're going to have to put forth some effort. Oh, there's plenty of grace there. There's plenty of mercy there. There's help to be had. But why would you think it's just going to come to you without any effort? How much are you praying about it? How much are you trying to fill your mind with the Word of God? How much more are you trying to get away from that and turn to something that'll help you? It always amazed me. Anybody ever need more money? You know the best way to make more money? Go buy a lottery ticket. No. Work. Preacher, I can't pay my bills. Place you work, did they ask you to work a little extra? Well, yeah, but I didn't want to. Then you probably didn't need all my money. Well, I'm waiting for it to come in the mail. You'll be waiting a long time, probably. Only thing that ever comes to my house is Bill. Not Bill Chris, but Bill. He comes regularly. You've got to do your part. I've got to do my part. And that's what God's showing us here through the life of Paul. You want some help this morning? You want some help this week? You want some help through this year? Work right here a little bit with me. So what do we see? The first thing, and again, this is so simple, but we don't do it. Two things. Let's look at it this morning. God will give you some help if you'll do these things. Look with me here this morning, verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing, and it is just one thing. People get so tied up. People try to make it so complicated. Paul says it's just one thing. This one thing I do. Notice what he says. Forgetting those things which are behind. I'm not an English person. You've already figured that out. But I love the way that God put this. He says, I'm going to forget those things which are behind. They are behind you. No matter what you're trying to do, they're behind you. You're not going to go back there. They're gone. So the first thing to get motivation, the first thing to get some help this morning is we got to forget some things. Now I know that's one thing the devil likes to do is he likes to bring up our past. The old devil likes to bring it up into your mind, and it's hard sometimes to forget those things. Ain't it amazing? The things I wish I could remember, I can't, but the things I wish I could forget, I don't. Isn't it amazing? I'll be out at a restaurant or something, and I'll hear a song on their radio that I listened to when I was in high school, and I can almost tell you every word of that song. I ain't heard it in years, but it's there. Why? Old devil likes to mess with you. He likes to bring those things into your remembrance. Why? Because he wants to get you to start thinking of your past. And the first way that we're going to move forward, the first way that we're going to see some change in our life, something that's going to help motivate us, is we've got to forget some things. And again, he says there, forgetting those things, and there's more than one, which are behind. This morning, every one of us have a past. Don't you? You can't name everything in your past. Yeah. I would like to remember yesterday a little bit better, but we've all got a past. And again, it's probably one of the greatest tools of the devil is to keep your mind focused on behind you. Friends, you're not going to do anything about what's already happened. Boy, I'd like to go back and change some things, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to go back and tell some people some other things than what you did say? But you can't do that. Once it's done, it's done. Past has already passed. And God tells us here that we need to learn to put those things, to forget those things, but again, we allow that past to control us, and we let that past come into our minds and have power over us that it shouldn't have. So God says the first thing you need to learn to do is forget some things. Well, that's easy, isn't it? No, it's not. But you know how you forget things? You give it to God and walk away from it. Don't go back to it. When those things begin to enter your mind again, realize this is not helping me, but it's hurting me. Cast, the Bible says, cast those things down. Don't even entertain your thoughts. So again, our past is past, but what past? I think the number one thing probably is our past sin. Does that ever bother you? Sure it does. There's things in your life that you used to do, but thank God you're not doing them anymore. But we've got to realize to let those things, why? Because Christ died for our sins. Those things are being forgiven. He has cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. But if you allow those things to come into your heart and your mind, if you allow those things, it will control you. And instead of going forward, you'll go backwards. My pastor always said that, how did he say it? My brain just went dead. Any old dead fish can float downstream. It takes nothing to go backwards. Well, I'm just standing still. No, there is no standing still. Either you're moving forward or you're going backwards. I want to go forward, don't you?
But we got to, God says you got to forget those things, whatever those things are. Our past sins. Paul, and I want you to think just a moment. I want to encourage you to do this as you read your Bible. Don't just read it. Think about what you're reading. Who's writing here? Let's ask that question one more time, a little slower. Who is writing here? Through the hand of who?
Paul.
Paul says there's some things that need to be forgotten. God's telling Paul the same things he tells us here. Paul wasn't a good man. Paul even agreed to the fact that he was the chiefest of sinners. Now, I would argue with him. No, Paul, you're not. I am. Because probably all of us could say the same thing. But Paul realized what a terrible person he was. He murdered Christians. He destroyed churches. He tried to hinder the work of God. Don't you think that dwelt in his mind? Don't you think as he traveled the country serving God after he got saved, that he fought things just like you and I fight today about things coming back into his mind? That he killed people. Literally. He destroyed the church. He went against God. Remember what the Lord told him that day there on the road? Paul, why are you kicking against the pricks? You're going against me. And here God is assuring Paul, you need to forget that. But I wonder how many times Paul struggles like I struggled, and it kept coming back into our mind, and it hinders us from being what God really wants us to be. And he says, you've got to forget those things, our past sins. Thank God for 1 John 1:9.
Yes, sir.
If we confess our sins, do you?
Yes,
not to a priest. Listen. Our memory isn't as good as we wish it was. Some of these young people can still remember. I can't, but some of you young people probably can. But you know, I don't care who the sharpest mind in here is this morning. You can't remember all your sin. You sinned, didn't even realize you sinned. You did. So how can you ask God to forgive something that you don't even know you did? God says if we confess our sins, he is faithful. You know, I don't have to name my sins one by one. Because sin is sin.
That's right.
The sin of gluttony is the same as sin of drinking alcohol. There's no difference. There's no little sins and big sins. It's sin. But God says, if we confess our sin, I'm a sinner, God. Are you? God's not, but are you? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us.
Amen.
But not only forgive us, but to cleanse us. That sin goes down the drain. Don't keep digging it back up. We need to learn to forget some things. We need to forget those past sins. Here comes another one that I don't think people think about much. Has God been good to anybody? You seen God do some big things in your life? You seen God answer some prayers? You seen God give victory in some situations in your life? You need to know what God says? He says, you need to learn to forget some things. Now, I know we need to learn to forget those past sins. And when I say this, it almost sounds maybe contradictory, maybe. But you need to forget some of those past victories. Huh?
You mean I need to forget how good God's been to me? No. But you need to get out of that place if that's where you're living. Because the devil would like to keep you sitting right there. Boy, God did this. God did this. What about what God wants to do? Too many times we live in the past. God doesn't want us to live in the past. God wants us to look forward. We're getting ready to look at that here in just a moment. But God says there are some things that you need to get out of. You need to forget those sins. You need to get out of that place of do nothing. You need to quit just sitting back and be a person, well, God used to. No, God's not a God of used to. God is present. So God tells us, you know, I thought about over in the Old Testament. You remember when God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt? You remember how he brought them through that period of time there in the wilderness? And they was getting ready to go across into the promised land. Remember that? You remember that little bit of bunch that says, I don't want to go. We're happy right here. And those tribes that decided, God made them go fight. But they were able to come back on the other side. See, I'm afraid sometimes we get so comfortable on the other side. We're not willing to cross over those Jordans in our life to something more that God wants you to have. We're saying, God, I'm good and comfortable right here. God, you're good to me. God, I got food in the closets, on the shelves. I got money in the bank. I got good health. Lord, I don't need nothing else. And you're going to sit right there and dry up and do nothing. And you know what? The devil's fine with that. He'll encourage you to do that. He'll let you rock yourself to sleep in that place of do nothing. But God says you need to get out of that. Just like those tribes, they told God, and listen, God's not going to make you do anything. But if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. So God tells us here on this self-help book that we have, he says you need to forget some things. But then in that forgetting, notice what he says. Forgetting those things which are behind, notice next. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, there are things behind us. But thank God there's something before us. Aren't you glad this morning? You've got a purpose in life. God has kept us here to do something for his honor and his glory. There's something just right there that's bigger than you and I are. But you're never going to get it until you reach. Notice also he says there, he says, let us therefore as many, verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark. He says, reach, press. I read something one time that talks about leaning into things. Trying to show us that putting forth that effort, putting in our power of pushing forward. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. You ever seen, you can tell I run, right? I'm a runner, no. Do you ever notice those people when anybody ever watched like a track race at the Olympics? Hello? Yes. That's what Paul's really talking about here. You know, we're in a race. Now, picture in your mind. I couldn't tell you anybody that runs. So you just picture in your mind that scene of them running, and they've got that finish line. You know, when they get, you know, they might have two or three guys running just neck and neck. But when they get towards that finish line, what do? They don't arch back, do they? What do? They're pushing as far forward just to whoever can get their nose across the line first. That's exactly what we should picture here. God says there's something in front of you. I'm not just going to give it to you, but it's there for you to have. And he says you need to reach. I thought about this when I was thinking about these verses and putting this thing together. How many of us has been sitting in our recliner
or our couch at home. Easy, relaxing, and you drop something. Now, it's really good when you got your grandkids. Hey, can you pick that up? Works great. Great, I'm telling you. But you ever drop something and you reach out for it and you can, I mean, you're just this close. You just stop. What do? You back up and you, just a little bit further. And then you start touching it. It's like, oh, I can almost get it. So then you really reach out. You stretch as far as you can go. And finally you get it. Ever done that? Probably all of us have. That's what God is showing that our attitude here ought to be. You need to realize that there is something out there that's before you that God wants just for you. And if God says it, it's attainable. It's not the carrot on the stick that you put in front of the donkey. He can't reach it. But there's literally things that God has placed in our lives that if we want it, if we'll forget the past and quit living there and quit being satisfied there and go and see there's got to be more. Do you ever think this? We, the world in itself. Brother Knox will be with us in April. Brother Knox is a friend. I love him. But he is probably one of the best Bible preachers I've ever been around. He's not a stomper. He can stomp and snort, but he is such a teacher. That's one of the things I love about him, because he's helped me so much in the Word of God. But again, those things don't come easy. And again, it's there to help us. But you got to reach out to get those things. Do you want them? Well, preacher, what is it? Well, just let me tell you this. I can't tell you what your things are, but one thing I do know, that it's God that's putting these things before you, so it's got to be good. Amen. So this morning, as we read this Bible, as we try to learn this book, as we make it not just words, but we make it truth and livable in our life, God says you need to forget. But you also need to, now again, notice the wording. Verse 14, I press toward, or back up, it says, brethren, I count not myself, verse 13, apprehended, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which, what's the next little word?
Are.
They're there. Well, preacher, I don't see them. Do you have to see them? But if you'll reach, if you'll stretch, if you'll press, how much are you pressing? How much push are you getting? God says if you'll press, then notice here also, verse 14, I press towards the mark for the, notice the word, prize. See, this morning God says, if you'll do that, I'll give you a prize. Everybody likes prizes, don't you? We were on the, I don't know if you noticed, me and Teresa drove separately this morning. She's got to go to the hospital afterwards to see her uncle. And we were coming up, I guess that's down, coming down Woodleaf Road over there, close to the dump. I don't know what that little road is that bears off to the left there. But there was a flock of, I don't know what kind of birds they were, but they were pretty. I mean, it looked like that field was solid white, like it had snowed. There was white birds everywhere out there, just flying around. And I don't know if you saw it. You know those two houses right before you get to that field? Did you see the little girl running out? There was a little girl come running out of that house. It's where the camper is. She came running out of that house. And you could just tell, she's like, look! She was so excited to see that. This morning, God's got something in front of you to see. But are you looking for it?
Are you pressing forward? There's a prize to be had. Thank God for the gift of salvation. That's not the only gift that God gives. You don't realize, I don't realize, how much I wasted. Things that I could have achieved. You mean you could have been a millionaire? Why would I want to be a millionaire? I'm an out of this world heir. Preach, you don't like money? I do. It does help, don't it? But God's got something so much more. God says He'll supply all our needs according to what? His riches. This morning, if you want to start over, not start over as getting born again, because if you're saved, you're saved. But maybe you hadn't been stretching. Maybe you haven't been pressing. Maybe you're still living in the past a little bit. Maybe there's some things that are holding you back. That if you just get those things out of your life, God has something right there. Substance. It's not make-believe. There's something that God wants me to have. And when I get that, you know what? He's got something else. And when I get that, He's got something else. And one of these days, He says, finish line. Come on home. But until then, every day, we need to forget those things that are behind. And we need to, on purpose, press toward, reach for those things that God, that prize has set before us. See, this morning, you've got to ask this to yourself. Do I really want it? Now, I know if I ask you what you would say, oh, yeah, preacher, I want it. If you want it, are you doing anything to get it? You need to ask God. You need to let God show you. And you need to have some determination. Because I know the old devil, he ain't dumb. This old flesh ain't dumb either. Once you say, I'm going to do it, sickness is going to come. Heartache might come. Problems are going to come. But does that change the fact that there's something that maybe that's the hump that you got to get over to see God do something really great? Oh, He's good all the time. Boy, I wonder how many grapes we've left on the vine that God wanted me to have. You ask yourself this morning, have you got all of God that you want? Be honest. So let's forget those things that are behind. Listen, it's so easy to let our past, well, that person did me wrong, or this person did me wrong, or that, or this, or that, or this. And you're going to let that rob you. It's going to depress you. I've told people before, they get mad at somebody. Sometimes me. People get mad. And I say, the only person you're hurting is you. The person that you're mad at, they're still living life. They could care less. You're letting them win. I know this isn't the right purpose, but it sure is neat to watch sometimes. When somebody's being so ugly to you or so mean to you, you want me to tell you how to get them? Grin at them. Tell them that God loves them anyhow. Oh, that just burns them up. Because they want you to get stinking mad. They want to get you all frustrated and downhearted. Why? I got something to reach for. They can't take that away. The only person, now listen to me, I'm closing. The only person that can keep you, not your neighbor, not your wife, not your husband, not your children. The only person that can keep you from achieving the things that God has for you, guess who it is? It's you. You allow somebody else to keep you. You allow you to not go forward. You. It's not God's fault. It's got to be my fault. So if I don't obtain, if I don't reach and press to see what God has for me, it's my fault. You probably all heard that silly little story about the guy that was at his house and the flood rains began to come and the waters really started building up and it started flooding his house. And he goes up into his attic and he's like, God, help me. And, God sent somebody by, and he says, no, God's going to take care of this. And he gets out and he gets up on his roof and he's like, God, help me. And all of a sudden here comes somebody else by, hey, come get on. They say, no, God's going to take care of this. And then he drowns and dies and he goes to God and says, God, I thought you were going to take care of that. And God says, well, I sent so-and-so by to help you. And you said, no. I sent so-and-so by to get you. And you said, no. How many times do we miss because of what I do? This morning, God has something before you. Oh, I don't know what this year looks like. It's not starting out real well. Looks like there's going to be sicknesses and all that good stuff. Wonderful. But listen, don't let that rob you. Don't let that rob our church. Let's decide. Let's purpose it. We're going to push forward. We're not going to allow these things to keep us behind. You've got to do that. I've got to do that. We need to do that. But you have to make that choice. Don't answer it, but I'd like to lose some weight. I'd like to exercise. I'd like to get stronger. We probably all said all of them. But sitting on the couch with a potato chip bag ain't going to help it. Every one of us, I really believe this, or you wouldn't be here this morning. I believe everybody in here, you're at church because you want to see God. You want more of God. Sitting and doing nothing ain't going to get it for you. You need to press. You need to reach and keep pressing and keep reaching. This is a great self-help book. It's written not to hurt you. It's written to help you. So let's let it help us. Sometimes we have to hurt to get help. But there's always help. Let's stand together this morning. Thank you for being here. As Miss Karen comes and begins to play, is get ready to let Brother Russell sing a verse or two here in a moment. Some have already started this way. First step, we got to do some forgetting. Are you allowing something or someone to keep you back? Yeah, preacher, but you don't know what they've done. I know what they've done. They're robbing you. You're allowing them to keep you from achieving because you can't let go of it. I'll ask, but I know the answer. Have you ever been hurt by somebody? We all have. And guess what? You're probably going to get hurt again. But don't allow that to keep you from achieving what God wants. You're letting them win. So after we forget, we need to do some pressing and some stretching, some reaching. This morning, there's something that God wants you to have. He can't make you want it. But if you want it, it's there. Oh, you might have to go through some hills and valleys. You might have to go through some troubled times to get it, but it's worth getting. Brother Russell, if you will, sing a verse or two.
Take up thy cross and follow
me. Preacher, I've already lost time.
I heard my master. Master say.
You can't change those things.
I gave my life to ransom thee.
Do you want it?
Surrender your all today. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go.
He sings another verse this morning. God's wanting to help us.
He drew me closer to
get closer to God today.
I sought his will to know. And in that will I now abide. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads.
This Karen's going to continue playing just for a little bit longer. I want to ask us, we'll do this morning. You just mind the Lord the best you can. We do have a lot of sickness. We do have a lot of things going on. And I truly believe God's able. And I believe the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm going to ask the men of the church, if you would, let's slip around the altar this morning. There's a battle. There's problems happening. There's things that's going on. And we need to be praying for one another, for our church. Ladies, you can just pray there where you are, if you would. I just want to ask the men, if you can and you would, let's gather on this altar as a church family. Ladies, you can be seated this morning. It's easier to fight as a group than it is by just one. I believe in the power of prayer. I hope you do. Let's pray this morning. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for the privilege to just call upon your name. Lord, we are so thankful for how good you are to us. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for all the gifts, God, that come along with it, Lord, for just, God, how you take care of us day in and day out. Lord, this morning we come together as a church family this morning, not just praying for ourselves and our needs, but God, Lord, we're praying for the needs of your people. Lord, we're in a battle. Seems like there's wickedness on every side. Seems like there's so many problems, and this is hitting our family these days, God, that between the sicknesses and just the things that, God, are coming before our families and our homes, is trying to tear us apart. Lord, I know this morning that greater is he that's in us. Lord, you're greater than whatever it is, Lord, this morning. Lord, our country's in a mess. God, our leadership is leading not to the right, but to the wrong. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you'd help the church to stand up in these days and be accounted for. God, help us to be that good soldier. Help us to fight the good fight of faith. God, help us to not fight one another. Lord, our battle's not there. But God, help us, Lord, to stand in these days for the truth, what is right. God, thank you, Lord, for our church family, Lord. And God, thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters, God, that we should love and should just want to encourage one another. God, that we can come and unite one another, Lord. And God, just give that strength that we should have, Lord. And God, I do ask you to be with our church family, God, that are sick this morning. God, Lord, I know you are the great physician. God, you're able to take away, Lord, those pains, those hurts, that sickness. God, I just ask you, Lord, to, God, just bring that help. God, bring our church body back together in a strong way, Lord. And God, I pray, dear God, Lord, as you'll help us, Lord, as we put on the armor of God to fight, Lord, the fight of this world that we're in. Lord, help us, Lord, to be strong. God, not in ourselves, but in you. Help us to learn of you. Help us to walk with you. Help us to realize the battle's not ours, but the battle's yours, Lord. But God, help us to stand in these days. God, help us to see the importance of the church. Help us to see the importance of our brothers and our sisters in Christ, Lord. And God, help us to see the importance of us in this world, God, to be that light and that salt to a lost and dying world. God, I know you're coming. Lord, I know it could be even now. But God, help us to realize that until you come, God, we've got a work to do. God, we've got a fight to fight. God, we've got something before us that we need to be busy about. Lord, I know the sun's going down. It's getting dimmer as the days go forward. But God, as long as there's light, there's work to be done. And God, I pray, God, until you come, you'll find us faithful. God, doing our best to serve you the best we can. And Lord, I just ask you again, Lord, help us to reach the lost. God, help us to see the greatest need is not, Lord, financially. It's not, Lord, numbers and things of that nature. The greatest need this morning is to tell somebody the good news of the gospel. God, to reach somebody with the truth that, Lord, they don't have to die and go to hell. God, that they can come and be born again and have everlasting life in a place called heaven. Lord, I just ask you again to give us boldness. I ask you, Lord, to give us strength to go forward. And God, get us out of the past. God, get us out of that seat of do-nothing, God, and get out here and press and reach for the things you'd have before us. Lord, give us that determination. Lord, Joshua said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, we'll be determined like that this morning to the best of our abilities, God, that we're not just going to say it today, Lord, but Lord, every day we're going to get up every day you allow us, God, to get up and press towards the things that are ahead. Lord, help us not be ashamed. Help us to stand straight, God, with a smile on our face and just say, Jesus saves. Lord, you are our God, and Lord, we love you. Lord, go with us this afternoon. God, I pray, Lord, that you'll give us a great rest of the week, God, and Lord, as those things do come, and I know they'll come, God, but we don't have to be overtaken with them. God, help us to stand. Help us to be strong. Lord, help us to just be able to give ourselves to you, casting all our care upon you, Lord, knowing that you care for us. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Lord, go with us. Bring us back again Wednesday night. God, help us just to get in this book, live in this book, and let us just go out into the highways and hedges and compel others to come. And Lord, we'll thank you. We'll praise you. For it's in your precious, your holy, your righteous name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget Wednesday night services. Hope to see you. Be careful. If you need something, do give us a shout. If you can help with a meal for Miss Dawn, you can see my wife or Miss Aretha. They'll help you get that arranged. And again, do pray for one another. God bless you.